Hello everyone and welcome to Daily Newspaper Analysis, which is brought to you by Losico. Today we have two articles for our discussion. The first one is from the Hindu newspaper. The title of this article is A Mandate for Governors. So this talks about the rightful duty that the governors owe towards the state government and the state executive, and that what should the governors be doing if at all there is a bill pending with them. Should they be just keeping it in their pocket using their veto powers, or should they really have a time-regulated mandate with that regard? So all of that will be discussed in this article. The second one is from the Indian Express, which is titled as Reforming Regressive Reading of Rape Laws. So a recent judgment that has come up regarding a case of a nun and a bishop will be discussed here, wherein instead of moving forward with the understanding of the laws relating to the rape, instead of that, we have actually had a regressive or a step back from moving forward. So what has actually happened? What is the judgment and what is the way forward over here will be discussed right now. So I am the one presenting this newspaper analysis to you. My name is Sheva Khan. I am a BA LLB law graduate and I have completed my law degree from Uttaranchal University. I completed my graduation in the year 2019 with a gold medal in my batch. I have also been a national debater as well as a public speaker. And currently at Losico, I'm working as an expert for current affairs and I'm also managing the current affairs vertical. With this, let's discuss the very corresponding article, which talks about a mandate for the governors. So recently, the Tamil Nadu bill, which was relating to dispense of the NEET. So as we know that we have the NEET exam for medical entrances in the country. So Tamil Nadu government was very much willing to dispense of or get away with the NEET exam. And for that, it has passed a bill in its assembly. But that bill was very much pending at the hands of the governor, and it still remains pending over there. So in that very occasion, this particular article is being discussed as to should there or should there not be a complete time limit or a timeline mandate that should be there on the governor to act upon a given bill. So let's see that what have been the events that have unfolded or that have opened up till now. So Tamil Nadu has been incessantly here we mean that has been continuously pushing to constitutionally mandate the response of a governor within a specific time. So it says that many a times this has been happening, that the governor is not in, you know, it does not take the decision in the right time, due to which the right kinds of bills get halted and the timely decision cannot be taken. So the speaker of the assembly has previously also pointed out that the governor often sits on the bills without any input for an indefinite period of time. Now, see, in this regard, what we have to see is that if at all the governor has anything to, you know, be added or to be removed from a particular bill, or if he has any concerns regarding that bill, so it is his duty that he lets the assembly that had passed the bill in the first place to know that particular thing. But now, if the governor does not even respond on that bill, he does not even tell that what is right or wrong with it and just sits on the bill for an indefinite period of time, so definitely this calls for a halt or lag in the complete procedure of the passage of the bill. So the bill to dispense with NEET needs to be forwarded by the governor to the president for his assent. Now, as we know that firstly, education also comes under the concurrent list, and NEET, to be very specific, also comes under the purview of the center. So if at all a state has to take a decision, so the bill has to be passed in the state assembly, then it has to be passed by the governor and then further forwarded to the president for his assent, and then only that bill will be in the right shape and can be implemented. So that is why it was here looked forward upon to the governor that upon the passage of this bill in the state assembly, that was from Tamil Nadu, the governor, after looking into the bill, would have forwarded it to the president. But that definitely has not happened. So reluctance from the governor to do the same and sitting on the bill has greatly distressed the chief minister of Tamil Nadu, that is M.K. Stalin. So the ruling party over there, that is DMK, has argued that the bill has been passed by the state assembly and hence it should be respected and forwarded, and the decision of the assembly should be respected by the governor and it should be forwarded for the assent of the president. Now here the Indian constitution places fiduciary duty. Now fiduciary is in the context of your relations that you hold, all right? So it says that there is a fiduciary duty upon the governor to act within a reasonable time frame. See, though we know that the governor is appointed by the center, and by center we of course know that the governor is appointed by the president, and he also holds the office until the pleasure of the president. But the purpose for which the governor is appointed is for a smooth functioning of the state executive. Now, if at all the governor is not fulfilling his duty as the head of the state, so definitely it will make it very difficult for a smoother functioning in the state. And that is why it becomes a kind of an imperative duty of the governor to act within a reasonable time frame. The article also says that if at all he does not take into concern the bills that are forwarded to him for his assent or to be forwarded, it would actually mean that he is not taking into care and concern the will of the people of that particular state. So delay in carrying out his functions is thus ex facie unconstitutional. So this is a recurring issue, as has been pointed out, that where the previous government also had to issue a government order for effecting 7.5% horizontal reservation for NEET qualified government students, wherein a similar bill was still pending with the governor and it was not passed, and ultimately to get away with it, the government had to pass a government order. So a related aspect of this conundrum or this entire issue is that if the president rejects the bill summarily, which means that very quickly, so it definitely makes sense that he should be giving proper reasons for the same and as to what additions or removings have to be done from that particular bill. And based on the suggestions made, the Rajya Sabha or the Assembly, depending upon the case, would have undertaken corrective measures to incorporate the said changes. Now, at the present juncture, it is important to take Tamil Nadu's demand forward to ensure proper action by presidents and the governors. So let's see that what happens in the long run. And definitely, since the governor should look into a smoother functioning of the state executive and the state at large, so he should be, you know, taking care that every response, be it positive or negative, that is a different discussion altogether. At least he should give his response within a definite period of time. With this, let's discuss the second article for the day, which talks about reforming the regressive reading of rape laws. This article talks about Bishop Franco Mulakal's acquittal from the rape charges is an instance, and it says that it is an instance of regressive reading of the rape laws of the country. Now, here by regressive reading, we mean that instead of moving forward and being more progressive with the growing society with regards to bringing more things under the ambit of the rape laws, instead of that, this particular judgment of the court has instead brought us back and way backwards instead of moving forward. So let's see that what have been the issues that have been raised with the judgment. So the judgment puts a very vivid description of the sexual assault on the victim. It says that the nun alleged instances of anal, oral and penovaginal and further sexual assaults over a period of 4 years, and every single act amounting to rape under section 375 of the IPC is present in this particular instance. Now, any one of them being considered makes the offenders liable under section 376 of the Indian Penal Code, which has the punishment for the rape. Even though this particular accused has been acquitted from the court. So the offender was a patron, so establishing an unequal power relationship, making it an aggravated sexual assault. Now, of course, whenever the assaulter or the person or the rapist is in a position that is above or that is in position of power as compared to the person who is the victim, so definitely it makes it an aggravated sexual assault, because in this situation, the victim, it was even more difficult for the victim to fight back or to, you know, make people convinced with whatever was happening with her. So, the judgment itself fortifies this, that despite being mother superior, she was subjected to menial tasks for the patron, which definitely was not at all acceptable. So, failing to point out the crucial ingredients of section 375 and section 376 of the Indian Penal Code, the judgment commentaries on infighting and factionalism, and it discredits the nun as having been instigated to carry out false allegations. So basically it says that despite the relative of the victim as well as the witnesses accepting that the fact stated by the witness was false, the court holds that the woman was of easy virtue. Now here it brings us to another important point, that can the history or the historical system or the character of the victim be an important or a substantial factor while discussing the matters for rape or while issuing any kind of punishment or judgment in such thing. So we know that the judgment should have considered that while it is mandated that the history of the victim cannot be used to tarnish image of a victim. Now here it is very important that even though there is a woman who, let's say, who works as, you know, as a sex worker or as a prostitute, even though her, you know, this is her, you know, job profile or she works in such a, you know, a manner, but still her consent will be very much important, and her history or her character as such or her, you know, history of that victim will not be considered, and it cannot be used to further tarnish or spoil the image of the victim, and thus this judgment has clearly deviated from the alleged crime to the character of the the victim. So the judgment should have considered that laymen do not talk in technical terms but only make subtle hints at sexual abuse, and that is why the court should have looked into this matter only on the merits of the law and then should have come up with the right judgment. So the trial court seemed to have undertaken a hyperactive approach while totally discrediting the victim, and the judgment also fails to deliver on the constraints under which a nun lives and the power dynamics involved. And definitely, as we were talking about, that the assaulter or the rapist was a patron, you know, the accused, basically the alleged rapist, was a patron, and that is why he was in a very much powerful position as compared to the nun, and thus it was also, it should have been taken as an aggravated sexual assault. Now, it is also interesting to note that the former bishop or the accused, he never denied the allegations also, and that is, and still he has been acquitted out of them. And the judgment shall only silence hundreds of women who continue to suffer at the hands of clergy, although the case was, you know, it was a very ideal platform to bring forward such unspoken horrors to the light, but this has definitely not happened. And we really hope that this moves to the higher in the hierarchy of the Indian judiciary, and definitely, you know, the right is only pointed out, and the judgment is only for the justice. So that was all for today. Thank you so much for joining in. Please give it a thumbs up. Do definitely like this video and do subscribe to our channels for more updates. Also, if you wish to download the PDF of these slides, you can join our Telegram channel. The link to this channel is there in the description box below, or you can scan the QR code that you are seeing on your screens right now. Also, for other content, please follow us on our Instagram channels for judiciary, CLAT preparation, UGC NET, as well as other law finance exams. Thank you so much.